Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Podcast Show number 148, and we've got an almost full house today.
Yeah. I would say this is actually a full house. Because I don't count staples anymore. I don't count staples anymore.
Wow.
Nah, fucking.
He turns up
once in a blue moon and gives it the big one.
I think he's become towards what Brian Robson was towards the end of his United career. He only appears occasionally, but it's always nice to see him.
That's for you to
a
say.
Special guest. Yeah.
Complimentary on Staples.
Wouldn't it be always nice to
Brian
see
Robson,
you don't mean that.
I mean more for our listeners than for us ourselves. But he's certainly not like Giggsy, because he doesn't completely drag the show down and show that he can't cut it anymore. No offence to Giggsy, because I love him to pieces. But so we've got me, Mike, we've got Jerome, we've got Dan, we've got Chris, we've got Andy.
Right.
Fantastic. A lot of facts to start the show today. Probably it's 20 years ago today since the
Sergeant Pepper told the band to play.
Oh,
come on, that was quick.
That was witty.
It was witty. It was very.
It wasn't witty. Yeah. It was just quite quick.
It's very nice.
Thanks.
But it was also 20 years ago today that the infamous England-Holland qualifier took place, with Graham Taylor giving it the old "Do I not like that?" and Ronald Koeman rugby tackling David Platt and then going up the other end and scoring. Anyone remember it?
No.
He flicked one.
Yeah, the flick.
He flicked one.
He's going to
flick
one.
I was eight at the time.
Yeah.
I was seven. I'm not 28
there. I don't remember the match because I was six, but
I remember the match. Ronald Koeman flicked one.
You two are old gits. I don't even think Chris was born.
I would have been 2 years old.
Yeah. Wasn't it John Barnes who scored a free kick?
No, it wasn't. It was 2-0. No. We lost 2-0.
Oh, we lost 2-0. I don't remember it very well then.
No,
it basically cost us our place at the 94 World Cup.
Which we was going to win as well.
We were going to win the 94 World Cup.
Definitely
going
to win that one.
Carlton Palmer and Andy Sinton on the left, I think.
So. Every time someone mentions the name Carlton Palmer, I just think of him popping his head out of a bubble bath now. I can't think of anything else when someone says Carlton.
I just think of Carlton listening to this in China with our mate.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Malcolm Meatball, or whatever his name was.
Malcolm Meatball.
I think that was his name.
Well, it might not be his actual name. It might be the name that he goes by.
I'd be very surprised if anyone used a name on the internet that wasn't their actual name.
Yeah.
So I think it's Malcolm Meatball. I think it was Malcolm. Might be Michael.
If your surname
shows,
Meatball,
yeah,
don't call your kid Malcolm.
Well, but it shows how much
your surname's
love you.
Meatball,
you
don't
give.
Have kids.
Yeah, well. I was just telling Jerome about this earlier. I've got a friend called Robin Candy.
Oh.
How mean/hilarious are those parents? We're going to have a little, and it's a girl as well, by the way. Like, we're going to have a little girl. Our surname's Candy. What should we call her? Robin.
Would have been worse if the surname was Banks, but still pretty bad, Not having it.
Yeah.
Or if your parents called you Long John. Or just John.
Yes.
John, well, then I suppose Long John's probably quite a good nickname. How'd you get the nickname Long John?
Massive cock.
No leg and a parrot on my shoulder.
Can we get back to football, please?
Yeah, football.
Start with football. Start on football.
So anyway, Koeman flicked one.
Koeman flicked one. There's a lot of big qualifiers this week. We'll speak about later. Last weekend, though, it was quite an exciting weekend.
No, it was very dull. Nothing happened.
I've had it for the last few weeks, I think, Dan, we'll have to start with you. What the fuck happened?
Well, first of all, everybody's had one so far this season, so it's fine.
One? I wish we'd only had one.
At least one. The West Ham came with a game plan, and they did it very well. They put 10 players behind the ball, and, you know, they very much identified that where Spurs have been successful this season is going through the middle and the cheeky little through balls, and they had sort of two banks of five almost, and like one on the edge of the box and then one about 5 yards in front of them. There was just no room whatsoever. We tried to go through the middle, couldn't go through the middle, and it showed our distinct lack of plan B. But I didn't think I'd say this anytime soon, but I can't wait for Adebayor to be back. Because against a team like, well, it needs to, because against a team like West Ham, we were going to come and park the bus. We need to play players like Lamela and Townsend, get it wide, get it round the outside of them, and whip balls into the box.
So
Townsend did that really well a couple of occasions.
He started with Defoe, didn't he, and Soldado was on the bench. And
fair enough, Defoe's been scoring goals
in Europe.
Yeah, but he had a really good chance in the first minute of the second half and fluffed it, and that's what he's there to do. So not really good enough. But I think it's going to be, if anything, don't get me wrong, it's a shit result, and they did not deserve to win 3-0. I mean, the first half was diabolical, but the first goal was a push from Vertonghen, and the second goal was bloody lucky because he saved it, and then
came off
his thigh and went back in. But the third goal was brilliant from Morrison.
Yeah, well, you're. But,
I think it would be the best bit. Actually, it's going to be good news for Spurs because the fact that we need a plan B. Like, we won't be able to pick apart all teams that come and park the bus.
So, on what you said that everyone's had at least one, referring to a shock result, do we think that the Premier League has got stronger again? So, teams that you wouldn't expect to maybe drop points against teams like
Would you mean like the lower teams have got better or the top teams got worse?
Yeah, so has the league got stronger or are the teams at the top just not as good as we think they are?
Neither. I think it's just something that's always
there's
happened.
Been quite a lot of freak results.
I don't think, man.
How many games in? 8 games in are we now?
But I think you get that
Seven games in.
Teams lose.
City have lost 2, United have lost 2.
Three.
Spurs have lost 1 against the Hammers.
But unexpected results.
Arsenal lost against Villa.
I think there's been more unexpected results after 7 games than there has been in a season for a long time.
Maybe in 7 games, but
so
I
that's
think
one. That's
one.
Yeah,
100%. I don't know.
Is the fact that the sort of not so good teams in the Premiership, the money that they're getting off the TV rights, is it making them stronger? I think it is, because if you look at every single, say, strike partnership in the Premier League now, and you think, well, fuck me, actually, on their day, and if they're
your
main striker, then you think, actually, on his day, if they're at the races, you know, give him a chance and he's going to score, that's good enough to take 3 points sometimes.
I think the quality of players in the lesser teams are much
better. Where's he gone, by the way?
Chris
has disappeared.
He's not happy.
Don't worry. Has he actually left the club?
I think he is, yeah. He'll be back, don't worry.
He's our resident beatnik.
He's very trendy, isn't he? I was thinking, if you go back to the original podcast lineup from when they first started with Jim, Simon, Ed, Stu,
we're a lot better looking now.
I think it has improved. Yeah. I think the standard, and that's no disrespect to Simon.
That's Pitney. A lot of disrespect. Pitney. No, Pitney's not. Simon Head and Dan Ferdinand. Yeah, without a doubt.
I honestly think that
I think Man United are a lot weaker this year than we were last year.
They haven't lost anyone.
Ferguson.
They haven't lost any players, which makes them weaker.
Yeah, I think.
It would make any club in the world weaker.
It's a massive factor. I don't think I think that showed in the results so far and the transition and blah blah blah. But obviously, I don't know. City don't look.
City maybe a few more games yet, maybe half a dozen games away from actually probably being very, very good.
Yeah.
City's performance against United in the first half, when they won, I think City would have been leading against any team in the world after that first half.
It was great to see the Bayern Munich turnover. Like.
The thing with City
Well, there you go, but there's the...
different class.
Yeah. The thing with City, I think, is A, they look terrible away from home. And B, they should win the league at Canton. It's a squad that they've got this season. And I think they've had the least upheaval, because I think, obviously, Ferguson goes to massive upheaval. I think Mourinho coming back automatically creates a sideshow. We've already got to see the amount of players who he's fallen out with or who he's dropped for no apparent reason.
I mean, your Sturridge, your Moses and your... Oh, so Sturridge obviously wasn't his fault, but your Sturridge, your Moses and your Lukaku and things like... Three players that are on fire.
City should, but I think Pellegrini is going to take more time to adapt, and that's why they won't win the league. I would put them as favourites to win the league this season.
I know what you mean. Yeah, they've still got a wonderful team. Like, I'd probably say the best team in the league. Yeah. I think, like especially first team.
Starting 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. I'd say Chelsea has got a fantastic starting 11 as well. There's no striker.
Which
yeah,
is
yeah.
About, which
well,
three
to be honest, kick. I think any of the top six have got great starting 11. Do you look at any, on paper, the best 11?
You've got to look at Arsenal now and as well. Starting 11, you'd say bloody hell.
I don't think any of them have any weaknesses. Even if you took a United starting 11 with the very best players, on paper, they don't look like a weakness there.
Right back?
No, Raphael's a fantastic right back. He was the second best right back in the league last season.
Central mid.
Central midfield.
Central mid.
Carrick and
wide.
Again,
Carrick and Fellaini, there you go.
Carrick and Fellaini.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't excite me.
Sorry, no. Carrick got to the Premier League team of the season last year, and Fellaini scored 11 goals.
That's last season.
And everyone said he was fantastic. I'm talking about on paper.
Fellaini on paper is average.
Fellaini's a great player. He's done great for the last 5 years.
He's got to prove it at United.
He's got to prove it.
But I don't think you can call him a great player.
What I'm trying to say is, if you let me make my point, is not necessarily.
Well, he wasn't going to talk to you,
The first thing Coxon said when he sat down was. I've got a bit of a sore throat, I'm not going to talk too much.
But when I've got something to say, I like to be able to actually make the point.
Well, what are you saying then?
That none of
Chris,
the top
what do you think,
six
mate?
Are bad, are they? They've got a bad starting 11. There's not weak. It's beyond that. It's the off the pitch with the managers. It's the squads, it's potential for injuries. That's where it's going to be made. And across all of that, I think City are probably the strongest.
Well, they've got unlimited resources, haven't they?
They do, but they've also got some great backup, which is where somebody like, say, Spurs, Liverpool, or even United, or even arguably Arsenal, I don't think if you get a few injuries, there are good enough players to come in.
That's where you're wrong. I was about to say, you're trying to run about Spurs. But what are you talking about? Have you seen our bench?
For a start, Spurs at left back, you've got Danny Rose and then Norton, which is weak. But then on the bench, yes, you have got some very good players. But
we've got two.
They're not proven at
I agree with that.
But we've got two players.
And you paid over the odds for a lot of the team that you've got.
You've got two players.
No, who have we paid the odds for? Ericsson, 11 million. Oh, loads of money.
How much did Lamella cost?
Yeah, he's a 21-year-old star.
Lamella was a lot of money.
Ericsson, 30 million. Lamella, Soldado, it's a bit more of a gamble. I'm not saying you paid over the odds, but they're a gamble.
Yeah, you can't possibly say we paid over the odds. You can't possibly say.
Time will tell whether you know.
You
paid absolute top dollar for him.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to.
Absolute top dollar for
the superstars.
Just sold bail.
But I think the problem
calling
is they're not superstars.
Calling them superstars is an exaggeration. It's a bit of a stretch.
Lamella is not renowned as one of the world's best, probably 30 players.
He's 21.
Yes, he is, but he's not a superstar.
I wouldn't call Poligno a superstar.
He was a superstar. Yeah. Who?
Poligno is a very good player, but he's not a superstar.
Wow. Yeah, but I think
it's stretching it.
There was the same problem. I think Bale was obviously always going to go from Spurs, regardless of what Dan Silver thinks. Yeah. Bale was always going.
Whether it be
this transfer window or in January.
That's what I said.
Going.
I said that from day one, pretty much.
I seem to remember about Arsenal. You saying that he'd give you another year? You thought?
No, I said I hoped he'd give me another year.
Arsenal did the same thing with Van Persie.
My memory's not what it was. You can't buy an exact
replacement.
So we bought Podolski, Cazorla, Giroud.
Yeah, and that's what they've done. They've used their money and they've probably used it quite well. And hopefully, for a Spurs fan in years to come, that squad will stay together.
Well, next year,
whenever it is.
Arsenal needed a year. Last year they got that seat, and now this is their first team this year.
We've all got to bear in mind as well, it is still very early days.
Yeah.
Teams have
seven
games in. Southampton are up there, and they look, for all the world, like they've got a great start
fair
in 11.
Fair play to Pochettino, actually. Yeah. I think he's...
They've got a great start in 11. For the resources they put out for a Premier League title, I'm not saying they're in the top six.
What are you
six.
Saying?
Meh.
Yeah.
What are you saying, meh?
Meh. Like Southampton starting 11. I can say that's great.
Comparatively, it is.
To what?
Compared to the rest of the chasing pack, you look at the likes of Gaston Ramirez, the likes of Pablo Osvaldo, Adam Lallana.
Osvaldo, who has done fuck all since he's got here.
Playing over the odds, Ramirez scored last week.
He's got one goal. And he's already wants to go home, apparently.
How much is your striker?
Eric Lamella, the superstar?
How much has he got?
He's only just... Well, hang on. Exactly. He wasn't brought to striker. He hasn't played. They're easing him in. He's a young lad.
Same with Osvaldo.
Osvaldo's hardly played.
He's played loads.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he has. He's got about to have his fourth kid from his fifth wife.
No, that's Raheem Sterling.
No, it is. No, it's Osvaldo as well.
Is it?
Yeah. And apparently, according to Doug, who is on our team, who's a massive Saints fan.
I'm going to Glasgow with him on Thursday.
He's a good lad.
You said you weren't.
apparently, he's the mother of his first child. He literally has got, I think, four kids from three women, I think it is.
Who has?
Doug. Osvaldo.
No, Osvaldo. That wouldn't be interesting. Yeah. That wouldn't be interesting at all if Doug had. No, so Osvaldo. Apparently the woman who's got his first kid back in Argentina? Is he Argentinian?
Yes, he is.
Oh, yeah, back in Argentina, has apparently been on loads of chat shows and talking about loads of shit about how she's not giving him no money, he's not looking after his baby.
What a
talking
bastard.
Loads of shit. Yeah, but he's in, and he's had to send out statements and all this sort of shit. So he's a very naughty boy.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah. But apparently, do you see that? Oh, it's probably shit journalism, but they said that he's thinking about, Doug reckons that's the reason he's thinking about leaving the Premier League already and going back to Argentina.
Right.
But we reported it, or someone reported it, that he doesn't like the physicality of the Premier League.
Yeah,
it was in the papers.
Yeah, sure if it's that, or Doug reckons it's because of, he's got to go because of his troublesome missuses. Yeah, a little bit of Osvaldo knowledge there for you.
But well, there you go, yeah.
And it calmed down the little scenario where we were all shouting at each other.
It did, and yeah. I think now we can all go nicely back to some results. And
Chris.
West Brom?
Say something.
it was a good game. Well, no, it weren't great. I think West Brom were obviously on their quiet horse a little bit after beating United. They were good.
I only just saw that goal, by the way, on Soccer AM.
Georgie King Clancy asked.
What a goal from the West Brom. Yeah, and the piss take finish as well.
It was two great goals.
It was unbelievable. Sorry, I only saw it at the weekend.
Bloody hell, we win a game and we still go back to the bloody talking about losing. Damn it.
Sorry.
But yeah, it was all right. We looked okay. Chesney was good in the first half. We looked a little bit, when I think Rosicki came on.
That's
good. Yeah, he looked all right, but disappointing not to get a result out of it. But they were just as good as us, I think. They played well, and so did we. But
did everyone a favour, West Brom?
Yeah, definitely.
Away at West Brom last season wasn't an easy fixture,
and
they've improved their team. So I'd say it's a good point for us. It's a great point for us.
And we say there are no easy games, but even like people like, I can't believe Cardiff. Lost home.
Palace are a bit of an easy game. I think they're
Even at Palace, though. Even at Palace, the atmosphere
at Palace.
And the same with Cardiff.
I watched our Liverpool Crystal Palace game at the weekend with a few mates. If Crystal Palace don't go down with less than 20 points, I will be shocked, because they were terrible. And the fact Liverpool let them get back into the game in the second half.
They had a few chances.
Liverpool were
wasteful, knocking on the door.
And they were very sloppy at the back at times as well.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
But Palace are.
I mean, well, what about bloody Sturridge, though, isn't it? Sturridge, are you hoping
yes,
it?
Yes.
I mean, he's.
Tomorrow night, I hope he puts a performance in, and you know what?
So do I.
If he plays well,
he gets on the pitch, though, isn't
it? I reckon he will.
Whether he's injured or not.
I don't know whether he'll start, because it depends what Hodgson.
He'll play the three.
Yeah, he'll play three.
It's got to be Welbeck, Rooney, and Sturridge.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
I suppose without Walcott, actually, yeah, he probably will. If Walcott was there, I think it would be a different story.
I think it's the first time that Hodgson.
Would not, and will reform this season.
Oh no, completely. Yeah, I agree,
I still think he played the three. Then he'd probably not play well. Where can he play Walcott? I think he's got to play.
This is the first time that Hodgson's actually been able to select his first choice. Front three.
It's whether or not Sturridge can do it in a wider position.
Cole and Walcott.
No, front three.
Front three.
Yeah, I think we've been really short of attacking options for a lot of Roy Hodgson's.
I really enjoyed watching him on Match of the Day, actually.
I really enjoyed seeing
him on Match of the Day.
Sorry.
You know, it was obviously there was a good little bit of banter and build up with the Lineker versus Hodgson beforehand, but. And
Hodgson's winning that battle, by the way.
He's just super cool. Yeah. Cool as a cucumber. Yeah, he just seems like it's like I've got this under control, lads. Do you know what I mean? Sat there just like I got this. Don't worry. Like it doesn't look like anything really.
He's one of the longest. His managerial career now is longer than most serving managers.
He's been going since
the 70s. To be fair, Lineker did have a point. Like he did have a point. We were poor.
He did.
And he admitted that he had a point. We were poor. We didn't keep possession well. and we gave away we could have made 10 yards.
He said to him, in hindsight, you know, do you think that actually we could have done better? And Hodgson did say, yeah, to be fair, looking back, we should have done better, we shouldn't have done this, and we shouldn't have done that. And he's like, it was really nice to hear like him speak frankly. And he, was like, and he said, do you know what your starting team is next week, given injuries? He was like, yeah, I've got a pretty good idea of what it is, but there's one or two places that are up for grabs. And he just like, and I don't know, just seeing him on Match of the Day, I just sort of felt a little bit more comfortable about seeing him, the way he was sat there talking about it. I was like, I actually think he knows what he's doing.
Oh, he does. And two points, quickly. Firstly, Andy, if you ever release an autobiography, can you call it Talking Frankly? And secondly, just while we're on...
Where did that come from?
You said Talking Frankly.
Yeah,
and
I did.
It just made me think.
Two and two together.
Secondly, on the subject of England managers, I've got a message for Harry Redknapp, who claimed this week he was the people's choice. Being the manager, can I just say...
But wasn't that The Rock?
The people's champion.
The people's champion. People's champion, sorry.
Can I say, on behalf of everyone I know who isn't a Spurs fan, and that's no disrespect, or someone who likes only Fools and Horses, you were not our fucking people. Shut the fuck up, twat. I am sick of him. He talks about how the FA can't run it. Are we want to see what's best for England? He's as bad as the Daily Mail saying that.
Someone just turned the light on. It's just really bright.
I mean, fuck off. Hold on.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Apparently Rooney wanted him, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, whether or not you wanted him or not, whether he would have done a great job or not, he didn't get it.
Taking the food back.
Doesn't look happy.
That chicken Kiev wasn't cooked through the middle.
But if you order a chicken Kiev in here, watch me.
Yeah.
What? She's loving it though.
Bit of imagination.
She's fucking tucking right in.
What?
Sorry.
Please stop
the next table.
Back to football again. Is that three times we've had to drag it back to football?
At least.
Well, we're not outside, and normally I get distracted by passing women.
And normally it doesn't make us say anything, normally we just go, and you get a bit of dead air, which we're having to fill now. Looking down the leagues a bit, Andy, Brentford, weekend.
Anything else happening in the Premier?
Do we have to?
We've finished the Premier.
There was the Premier League, the United game, and there was Yanezé, but I want to speak about that when we talk a bit more about international.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
It's a hot topic at the moment.
Yeah, Bolton got their first win.
Bolton did, a very good win.
Coming out of the bottom three.
St Andrews, Birmingham still not quite clicking. And fantastic result for
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth were 2-0 down after 10 minutes. My mate had them on an accumulator and was very close to ripping it up. And then they came back. He didn't win them.
Actually, you know, in the absence of James Staples, well played to Gilles at the moment. We're starting to pick some points up.
Don't talk about it.
Two wins on the belt.
He's not here.
Two wins on the belt.
He's not here. Don't talk about it.
I'm quite happy.
To be fair, Jim's not here and they weren't playing a football team. They were playing a franchise, so it doesn't matter. Don't really need to talk about that.
Yeah, he would have so class that game as a win.
Anyone getting a win?
Didn't happen.
I didn't get to go and watch Brentford lose 1-0 at home to Rotherham on Saturday. I was moving into my new house, but. Friends of mine did go, and a very, very fucking poor performance. And the team got booed off.
Jerome lives under a few elves.
Team got booed off.
Dude!
We've got one in every show.
We haven't had one for a couple of weeks.
I've got a sore throat. I'm poorly, and we've got an explicit.
I'm a little bit angry.
I'm always a bit angry.
Have you put that tongue back on?
It was automatically on. I think someone's listened to it.
Oh, fuck it. That's fine.
Yeah, fuck it. Balls, boobs.
We didn't. Okay.
Women's knickers.
We didn't talk about the Champions League last week. Sorry, but just.
I think we just move on from the Champions League.
Yeah, no, but Celtic. I wanted to. It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking, and fucking.
I think we did talk about it, and you weren't here last week.
Yeah, exactly. It was me, Jerome, and Mike.
Oh no, it was four of us. Was it four of us?
I wasn't there last week.
I did talk about it last week.
We did talk about it last week.
We did talk about it.
I'm going fucking mad. I'm a bit hungover.
Can I just say,
on the level leagues, I'm sending kind of some. Love. Some good wishes, some love out to two teams this week. One is Hinkley United, who've gone bust, which is a terrible shame whenever you see that in a club.
And they've, you know, to make matters worse, or not make matters worse, but like they've even got a brand new website.
Oh.
Called the Hinkley Times has just had a makeover, a revamp.
Yeah.
And they can't even, what are they going to put on it now?
God knows.
What are they going to put on it now?
Something else to talk about. Maybe we can talk about Kiev stuff, something. I don't know, like we're doing instead of talking about football. But also...
No, it is sad, yeah, it is sad.
Also, Hyde, who are seeking
see what I did there. A few points, because after 13 games, they've only got 2 points.
Two draws.
And a goal difference of minus 24.
Ooh,
Mike Coxon, supposed stand-up comedian.
Yeah, you can see me.
Alleged. Never actually has a show, though.
Next gig, 31st of October.
You've got one?
Oh, Halloween.
I've got another, I just don't tell people about them because I don't want a big crowd coming down and...
Oh, that's it. Oh, hang on. We've got a shy stand-up comedian. Oh, you're going to go far.
He doesn't want his work colleagues coming because apparently, when he worked at the BBC, he had a load of hecklers come down from...
No, they didn't heckle me. They heckled the professional comedians who had been kind enough to let me go on and do a 5-minute set. It was discreet. I actually got mentioned in the Metro once.
Wow, that's Coxon and his band of hecklers.
Yeah. I promise I will not heckle.
I have got a few gigs coming up.
I am not a heckler.
So we will do some extra time at one of my gigs coming up, I promise. Over the next
Yeah, why not?
So keep your eyes out. And if any listeners want to come down, fuck off. I'm only joking, of course, you're more than welcome. But what were we going
to...
What were we going to move on to?
I really hope it's an angry stand-up test.
Well, yeah.
Hands up.
With my United hat on, which I like to imagine as being like the awful cap he wore when he went out shopping and he was pitching the papers on Sunday. What a player. It's like the ball's glued to his feet, and he doesn't look scared. It is brilliant. We're all very excited. He's going to look great in the Juventus shirt next season. It will be fantastic. But obviously the whole debate is England have come out and said they want to court him and see if we can persuade him to wait 5 years and play for England. Why you would when Belgium or one of your actual home nations can have it?
Yeah, one of. Albania, Kosovo, Belgium.
Kosovo don't technically have a national team, but apparently what I'm told is he's waiting to see if FIFA will accept him in the next year or so because he considers himself Kosovo.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I think him, along with quite a few others, the likes of...
Well, this conversation comes up every few years.
But this could be great for United if he did play for Kosovo, because then basically he'd have a very short international career and Moyes would be able to do what Ferguson did for all those years and kids and the rest of it.
But the likes of Zerdan Shaqiri and Valon Barami, would all play for Kosovo.
Yeah.
They
can't
now,
can they?
That's
what I mean.
No, you play a full game and you can't.
No, similar to... What happened when Russia broke up?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And when the
Yugoslavia
broke up, they'll probably have the chance to choose because they didn't have that option.
Right.
So which makes sense if your country is like formed, like you've got,
which is why Danny Hickenbottom can now play for Gibraltar.
Obviously.
So what qualifies
him? Despite his long and illustrious England career,
what qualifies him to be Belgian?
Belgium.
He was born in Brussels.
To Albanian Kosovan parents. And obviously because of when he was born, it was part of a wider Yugoslavia, he can play for Serbia, who are the natural successors. Plus he can play for Turkey because one of his grandparents is Turkish.
He's not going to wait five years to be able to qualify.
My argument is why has the FA or whoever's come out of this, why are we chasing these players?
It's Greg Dyke who's come out and said something. That's the problem. It's another fucking Brentford bastard.
Why are we want these players to play? Why are we not just nurturing the kids that we've got now? The 18, the 17-year-olds that we've got and making them.
With the National Academy we set up last year.
Yeah, and we spent fucking shitloads of money on.
I completely agree, but at the same time, and I don't think you have to say it's the right thing, I do think if someone has lived in this country for 5 years, got a passport and wants to represent England, I would happily let them play.
But why are we chasing this way?
They can't even do it, and it's in 5 years' time.
What is to stop English clubs going abroad, poaching the best talents, as we have done down the years,
saying,
look, we'll give you extra money if you wait 5 years and play for England? What's to stop that?
There's no attractiveness to playing for England at the moment. We're not in a position where we're not like Spain or like we're not Holland or even Belgium that have got really exciting team.
I'd much rather play for Belgium.
I would want to play for Belgium or Spain.
Where are all these Belgians coming from?
Kosovo, apparently.
Not the other day, it's answered the live question. No, if we can just find out which Wigan will turn up, we'll have everything answered.
Maru and Fellaini's definitely not like thoroughbred Belgian, is it?
Thoroughbred Belgian.
We're getting into eugenics.
Oh, God.
But no, so it, somebody said the other day, I can't remember who it was some pundit saying, Adnan Yanezay, he doesn't sound like your standard Belgian name. What, like Marouane Fellaini?
Yep.
Or Romelu Lukaku? What does a Belgian name sound like?
Should we throw Benteke
into that? Bilal Boyo, Benteke.
Jean-Claude.
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Yanezay. I mean, what do they want?
Jack Wilshere doesn't agree with it, does he?
No.
Jack Wilshere doesn't, no.
I don't like
interesting
the
what Kevin Peterson said about it.
Yeah, it's all
why don't you like that?
And I'm not to say...
Because Kevin Peterson's spot on.
Yeah, but no, I think it's been misinterpreted.
Yeah, Jack Wilshere, he's 22 years old, 21
years old.
Get off
the Twitter and concentrate on playing football.
He did say it on
you
Twitter.
You want to put something
in
on
a press conference.
Oh, well, same fucking shit.
No, but he has put it on Twitter as well. But
yeah, he has, yeah.
Hang on, let Chris speak, didn't say
it. No, go on, I'm done.
No, go on.
No.
Go on.
I agree with Jack Wilshere. I think that just because if you're... if you come to this country as an adult and you live here for 5 years, and you know, it's like Mikel Arteta or what was it?
There's loads of them. Almunia.
You were fucking caught in Almunia 4 years ago.
As if Di Canio would play for someone who wasn't Italy.
Yeah.
The ultra fascist.
But I kind of understand what he means.
People think that these players want to play for England.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm English, I wouldn't play for England. I wouldn't want to really play for another country. Like, if I had the opportunity to, yeah. But it's probably going to be a lower class of country is the wrong word.
Quality of football.
Yeah, I'm going to play for.
Especially if you're born in Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll play for Belgium.
I'll play for Belgium.
You're not going to want to play for it because you've lived there for 5 years.
Well,
both your parents are like German or something, and then you think I'm feel German because I might have been born in Belgium, but both my parents are German, so I feel German.
I do understand with people who say, I remember the case of Lamana Luwadua, who never would have got near the England team, but he was courted for the England youth teams, and he wanted to play for England because he'd come over, I think, as about a 14-year-old, and England, he'd taken England to his bosom.
Yeah, he'd been to school here. He's gone
been
to the
school
education
here.
Bosom.
Yeah, it had been a much better country for him than back home when he was.
You can't use a word like bosom on the podcast.
Why not?
You just
bosom.
Well, when I consider you guys my bosom buddies, I can't use that word.
That's not
fair. But the problem was his family got death threats back in Democratic Republic of Congo, so he ended up playing for them.
That's a nice way to U-turn,
well,
isn't it?
Why
are you playing for this country?
I kind of agree.
Killed if I don't.
Yeah. There's people like Wilfried Zaha or Sadio Barrino who have grown up here despite the fact they were born and their family are from.
But Barrino's played all through the youth.
But what about Moses?
He was brilliant when he was on loan at Brentford.
Victor Moses
is
chosen to play for them.
Deliberate courting and deliberate chasing of players, which I don't agree with.
Yeah. No.
I don't think Jack Wilshere should have said anything though after being caught being a naughty boy.
Everyone's got him.
But he should have just kept his head down. Just this week, I think. I think him then piping up about this.
To be fair, you can blame the FA for that because why have the FA put him in front of a press conference this week?
And probably someone's asked him that question. What are you going to say?
Yeah.
He's answered the question honestly, like players should do.
Wilshere said what he thought.
Why should players be scared to say something that they feel is right?
It's better than people get too offended.
I'm scared of you right now.
People get too offended these days.
It's better than Stephen Gerrard going, well, you know, the lads have done dead well. We're just giving 110%. It's better.
Everyone calm down. Who's the geezer that does the impressions that was of Stephen Gerrard we were watching the other day? He's been on Soccer AM a few times.
He's really good at it.
Yeah. That reminded me of him, or a shit version of him.
What's your favourite cheese? Melted.
Wasn't that a genuine quote?
Yeah, that was. That's not even an impression. That's an actual genuine Gerrard answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's
brilliant.
Your favourite cheese? Melted.
Be honest. Yeah. Melted cheese.
He's not doing footballers any favours in a stereotype, though, is he? Really?
But at least that was honest.
I'm not going to say, camembert. Like, he doesn't have any.
They make some very nice cheese in the Rose Valley.
I don't know.
Just to be honest, like, that's
yeah.
Right. People are just scared to honestly of footballers, and like, they're going to vilify. People get vilified for saying the wrong thing or what they feel. It's not necessarily the wrong thing. It's their opinion.
And I think it's a very complex issue. But to sum that up in two lines.
But the problem is that what the world is like now. If you're in the public eye in any way and you say something controversial, you're going to get fucked for it. And I know, this is a whole wider debate on is that right or wrong. Yeah. I'm sorry, it's not the point. It's if you're in the public eye, you have to conform a certain way. I don't agree with it.
I'm not saying that he's going to come out and say rape is all right, because that is wrong. Like, you're going to should get vilified.
You heard it here first. Jack Wilshere thinks rape's all right.
Exactly.
Don't say that around Jack Wilshere. He'll just get his trousers off.
I think this show should be called something about a circus, because it's been a fucking circus so far.
Actually said something really controversial that is wrong. Yes, he should get vilified for it. But he says something that he believes in, that English players, people from England should be playing for England, whatever he says. That's fine. What is wrong with that?
People get offended too easily.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jay's been pretty offended by this conversation.
I think he's more offended than Kevin Peterson.
I think he is.
Yeah. But going back to the issue, Antoine, the BBC have come out with a load of figures today in their State of the Game survey, and only 32.26% of players in the Premier League are English, compared with...
No.
That's correct.
32% of the playing time. 32% of the... Hang on.
Oh, he's backtracking.
Solid stat here.
Yeah.
By
English.
Okay.
So it's not
30%. I was watching, funny enough, some classic game, Tottenham Chelsea, and I can't remember what
classic
year it
was.
It was like
classic game.
Andy Gray scored a penalty. That's how old. I was thinking, right, there was a lot of English players in that Tottenham.
What were you wearing at the time?
My boxer shorts.
Yeah.
It's in bed.
What? You wear boxers in bed?
I do.
What?
Really?
Yeah, do you not go all
naked? Do you sleep naked?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a missus, haven't you?
Is
it not more fun sleeping naked next to somebody?
To be fair, Dad, I've got a missus and she made me stop wearing boxers.
None of that naked shit anymore, mate.
Get that away from me.
Can you remember what year? Are you probably a bit too young? What year Andy Gray was playing for you? 90s,
probably 90s. very early 90s, maybe late 80s. Yeah,
there's a lot of English players in the Premiership. There was a few foreigners. When the foreigners came, it was
about 93, probably.
Right, 93. Was England a good football team in 90s? Like England in the.
Well, we've spoken about the fact that 20 years ago today.
So yeah.
I don't feel it makes one bit of difference whether you've got 22 English players on the field than if you've got 3 or 4.
If they're shit, they're shit.
It's not about how much players you've got on the how much English players you've got on the field, how much experience they get. Because if they're shit, they're shit. They're not going to make it to international level. They're not going to be good enough at international level.
So therefore, we've still got to have
the coaches in place at a grassroots level to train these
Did you read the John Bostock article today? It was good. Darren Lewis interviewed John Bostock, who's now playing in the Belgium second division for Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Royal Antwerp.
And he's saying that he's actually finding the love of football again. It was actually really quite interesting what he was saying. Because he came to Spurs at 16 from Palace, and he had a lot of a big reputation, John Bostock.
Captain of under 19,
yeah, under 17s, under 17. Big reputation.
Right, it was very controversial.
And that team had Koulka, some really like
Rodwell,
established players.
So he said that when he got loaned, because obviously, at 16 years old, you're going to get loaned out. You're not going to, unless you're Wayne Rooney, pretty much. You're not going to be playing first team for a Premier League side. Or top Premier Leagues, whatever we want to call it, Spurs. They definitely weren't a top mid side 5 years ago. But anyway, Premier League side, you're going to be loaned out, right? And he said that he struggled massively, because where he got loaned out to the lower clubs, because he was supposed to be this child kid super boy wonder, whatever you want to call it.
Wonder kid.
He was expected to be an absolute superstar every game he played. But the Championship, League One, League Two, like, they're not easy leagues to play in. Like, even if you're a talented football player, but especially at 16. And he lost.
Let me back you up on this. So we had Brentford had Hal Teixeira on loan from Liverpool. and he's played two, maybe three games, and only one of them was a starting appearance, and we sent him back because, yeah, the fans were expecting too much from him. He's a 19-year-old, over from Portugal, plenty of promise, but didn't bed in quick enough, and we sent him back.
Well, that's it. And Bostock was saying that, he said, like, if I played one bad game, wouldn't get back in the team. And then there was a list at the bottom of the article on the clubs he went out on loan to and how many times he played for them. I think the most he played for one of the clubs he was loaned out was 11 times.
Yeah.
And this is over a whole season. It was like 11, 3, 4, 7.
The other thing is, it's the Route 1 football and the battling in the lower leagues.
It's very interesting.
You've got a technical young lad.
He's being trained as a passer and a technical footballer, like you said. Yeah. And then they played lower league. Yeah. They hoof the ball up top, and he's playing. And so the actual loaning the young English players out to the lower leagues a lot of the time apparently doesn't work.
Well, it's very interesting because I was reading, I think in 442 last month, they had a feature on players who've gone on to represent England with distinction. So your Ashley Coles, your David Beckhams, your John Terry's, your Peter Crouches, Jermaine Defoe as well, about them, because they all went on loan to lower league clubs early in their career. So Beckham famously was at Preston. He wasn't featured in there, but it's more the people who've gone on and...
The really high profile.
John Terry at Forest, Lampard at Swansea.
Yeah, yeah.
And the overriding thing seems to be that they'd go to these clubs, and this is back in the 90s when it was a lot more physical in the lower leagues. There still wasn't as much quality. And they were treated like Nancy boys. They were treated as these coming in from the Premier League, didn't they, great, kicked the pieces. They all seemingly did very well, with the exception, I think, of Peter Crouch, and he was at Dulwich Hamlet.
Was he?
In the non-league. Yeah, when he was at Tottenham, he was at Dulwich Hamlet. He also went on loan to Sweden for a brief period, not the national team. he's not Adnan Yanez, he doesn't change every day which one he plays for. But,
It was a good. I mean, it was a bloody good interview. Like, it was really good to get
God
insight.
Knows how many take any big club, and I came to about United because come by spot. The amount of players we've had come through who have seen like the next big thing. Kiko Machado is a great example.
We
sent him out on loan, and none of his loans until now. He's at Doncaster. It looks like it's working.
Apparently, he's doing quite well.
But
there,
QPR, Sampdoria,
he did go
Stuttgart,
to Doncaster. I saw that.
It's all been. None of them have worked out for him, and it's just very difficult in those situations.
Well, that's it. I like the fact we're sort of ending it on a sort of serious, somber note.
Well, I'm going to give you.
Hang
a
on. There's a few other things to mention.
Well, we should mention the internationals. Mention the game.
And Gus Poyet being appointed at Sunderland, which is quite a big appointment.
Don't compare him to Di Canio,
Why would I?
That is what he said. Whatever you do, don't compare me to
Di Canio. I don't think you can.
Why? Because you're exactly
Di Canio
the fucking
anyone.
Same.
Have you heard who his first signing is going to be? Is Son Diego Poyet. Yeah.
Who plays for England?
He does play for England.
Oh, Diego Poyet.
He was born here. He's English.
Gus has lived in.
He was born here. Yeah. He's been there for fucking ages, hasn't he?
Well, yeah. Gus played for Chelsea, late 90s he joined there? So,
yeah, 97.
So,
that's because his name is Poyet, it doesn't mean he's not English.
To be fair,
do we think Poyet, good appointment for Sunderland?
No,
he's done brilliantly at all the other teams he's been at.
What, you mean where he fell out with the changing room every time?
Do we really have to talk about the changing room incident again?
I don't think it's the right appointment for anyone. Because Sunderland will struggle. I don't think he's the right man to get them out.
They should have gone for a safe bet.
Alan Kirbishley.
Really? Kirbishley? I mean, come on.
Where is Alan Kirbishley?
Well, I don't know, somewhere.
Has anyone seen Alan Kirby?
He appears on Match of the Day sometimes.
What's his name?
Richard Keys.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, name me a bad job Alan Kirby he's done at a club. He hasn't.
Oh, I think they should have gone for a safe bet.
I think they should have gone for Tony Pulis.
And just,
I hate Tony Pulis.
Poyet is not a proven Premier League manager.
No, not in the Premier League.
And the problem is that, like I said, he does get in, he's not the best man manager.
I'd like to see him do well there.
But he's notorious for not being a great man manager, and he's got to go in and man manage a changing room that has just lost an unbelievably bad man manager.
But also, a lot of those players were brought in by Di Canio. I think it's a bit of a gamble. What are the odds
on Sunderland going down now? But
significantly shortened from what they were before the season. Yeah.
They're still only on 1 point, aren't they?
They are, and they didn't look bad against United, but once United got hold on the game of the weekend. Actually, their next
five games, it's not too bad. There are some points they can pick up in the next five. I don't know off the top of my head who it is, but they've got points to pick up. I hope they do all right. I think Sunderland fans are good for football. It's a massive club. I'd like to see Gus Poyet do well.
Well, fingers crossed.
Why not, It's not all negative.
Quickly to mention, obviously, England are playing two very crucial qualifiers this week.
There's not crucial. Absolutely.
There are some other great examples.
What's more than crucial?
I'm trying to think of a superlative.
You can't shoot down crucial and then not be able to come up with a better one yourself, and I'm sorry.
Vital. Came up with that as well.
Crucial's better, yeah. Crucial.
Okay.
It's fucking important.
England are playing too fucking important.
Come on, England.
This week, so fingers crossed we're going. Some of the great games, I think Ireland versus Germany will be very interesting to watch. That's about it. Oh, well, Belgium have got Wales and Scotland.
Bale's not in. Bale's in the squad, but he's injured, I think.
Yeah.
Wales are at home against Moldova first game, aren't they?
No, they're against
Macedonia.
Macedonia. And one
do we think they can actually pick up 3 points?
Yeah.
Is there a danger that Wales could actually pick up 3 points out there?
Well, they've got 6 points from the two games against Scotland so far. So,
Fair enough.
You know, so, but what one thing to really make you laugh to finish off on, back page of the Scottish Sun today, who do you think Barcelona are being linked with?
The Scottish Sun.
Back page of the Scottish Sun. It's not Fraser Forster.
I was just going to say Fraser Forster.
Georgios Samaras.
What? Fuck off.
Yeah, Georgios Samaras.
Oh my god.
Apparently they're interested in him because he's played so well against you in the Champions League and he's there on a free. In a kind
to be fair, in that well, no, not to be fair. I mean, he's a fucking pile of shit. In that game, when they were chasing the game, he was incredible. He was tackling at left back. He was tackling at right. He was all over
I
the pitch.
I think it's a kind of Henrik Larsson backups, I think, or good Johnson that they've had down.
I mean,
Larsson was a world class striker.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous idea.
That was the idea behind it.
But it's absurd. But he did play well.
Real Madrid signed someone absolutely mad. Oh, do you remember?
Stephen Manaman.
Faubert.
It's a mad signing.
And Johnny Woodgate, best debut ever. Fantastic.
Two own goals.
One own goal and a red card.
The Melbourne Heart news, the season kicks off next weekend.
Come on,
who's the opener with?
What do you mean, who's the opener with? Have you not been paying attention?
No, I haven't been in the last couple of weeks.
I haven't, wanker. Yeah. It's the Melbourne Derby.
Oh,
it's
going to
be
God.
The biggest attendance record ever.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Ever football match ever?
No, not ever.
No,
a football
just
match
the
ever.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ever.
In fact, we
there's going to be 400,000 people crammed into the stadium. It's going to be amazing.
I tell you what, a few weeks ago, there were some whispers on Twitter between us and FFTU about doing a joined up show via Skype or something.
Yeah,
maybe if
technology.
Technology, and we're still doing a show on a fucking phone. On that note.
Yeah, but if the FFDU guys get in touch with us, then maybe we'll see if we can work some out.
I'm really up for that.
Show.
Yeah.
Which would be a great 149 before the 150.
Yeah.
Getting nearer.
I don't think we'll be able to do it next week.
Coming at us with your ideas.
What about time difference? That's going to be a problem.
We'll work it out. It's all right.
Unless they really fancy doing a show at like 7 o'clock in the morning before work.
To be fair, Chris is a hipster. He'll be up at 4 in the morning anyway. Probably
he's so,
actually, someone
he's so
says
cool,
that
isn't he?
Where did he go?
No, he's got his one-to-one in a bit. He might not be here next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Do you think they might mention razors to him?
If they get rid of him, then we'll just start doing the show from a crap den in Dalston or something. I'm sure we'll find him. It'll be fine. anyway... That's it for this week.
I hope no one listens from Dalston.
Yeah, but, well, no, of course they don't. They're too busy listening to podcasts about, I don't know.
Arty shit,
yeah. That kind of crap. Email us, bannerfootballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, www.footballpodcast.co.uk,
www.
And follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast.
@TheBoySilver.
@TheBoySilver, @MichaelCoxon, @JerrellMundell. What's yours again, Frank?
Frank C80.
@Frank C80.
Nah, don't bother it now, right, bye.